Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Wannabe. It's not going to be about the Spice Girls, so don't think we're going that way. Wannabe, let me read you some definitions of this. One who aspires, often vainly, to emulate another's success or attain eminence in some area. Could also be a person who desires to be or be like someone or something else. Someone who aspires to be someone else, especially a star or a hero. And this phrase was kind of made popular back in the 80s in reference to fans of female pop singer Madonna, Madonna wannabes. So here's my question to you. Are you a wannabe? There's someone else, there's something else. What you are is not enough. And you're constantly thinking about, well, I'm going to be like that, or that's who I'm going to end up like. It's always a wannabe situation. Never who you are, always something else, someone else, attaining to something bigger, not like a dream, just kind of like a fantasy, and never figuring out what God is doing in and through your life where He wants you. It's kind of a sad way to live, actually, because you never figure out who you are. And it is very difficult to be yourself if you don't know who you are. And it's impossible to know who you are totally until you know who Christ is. And as we'll see by the time we're done, it is impossible to know Christ unless you're willing to trust Him and see that who He is and what He's done and what He offers is bigger than anything you'd ever want to be without Him. So if you'll go to Matthew chapter 24, we're going to cover a few wannabes in Scripture. Matthew 24. Verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So how will we know when it's all about to be over? And Jesus answered and said to them, first thing He says is what? Take heed that no one deceives you. Now, how could they be deceived? For many will come in My name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Messiah wannabes. Now, we'll keep reading here in a minute, and you say, well, how will we know it's really Him? Let me just say it simply, then we'll read it. When Jesus comes back, He ain't going to be any wannabe. You'll know it's Him. The way it's described. So the tendency is, unfortunately, even among the Scripture describes us as the elect, that some can be deceived. Someone comes along, someone starts talking, someone starts explaining things, and we're so desperate to put our hands on somebody and say, here He is, that people get deceived. Do not be deceived. They thought He was saying this to them, and there's a ton of stuff in Scripture that is spoken at the time, but is delivered for us. And the people at the time thought it was happening for them. They're like, okay, well, this is in our lifetime, and they died, and millions of people have died, and Jesus is still not returned. But a ton of people have come along claiming to be Messiah. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then, look at it again, verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Wannabe prophets, these false prophets, declaring these things and getting people to follow them. So you have to pay attention to who you're following, and we'll get that in just a minute. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So why are we so passionate about taking the planet, getting the gospel out to the whole world so we can go home? Look what it says. The gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So you want to get to heaven? Then be a part of getting the gospel out and telling the whole world. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, never, ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Again, verse 23. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, here's the other danger. You say, yeah, but that guy's doing miraculous stuff. If you're going to be wowed by the holiness of God, not by some tricks that some guy can pull off. If you go back when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, Moses would throw down, the magicians would throw down. Moses would throw down the magicians. It went back and forth. And finally, the magician said, we're out. This only God can do. So listen closely and watch closely. And you say, okay, but they did something that seemed miraculous. That's not enough. Don't be deceived. If you're looking for some emotional, some hit, some, oh, wow, that's cool. That has to be him. This is Jesus warning us that these things would happen. Again, he says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Oh, Messiah is out in the desert. Let's go out there. Don't go. And people, you know, they say, oh, we're going to sell everything we have and dress in white garments and go stand on a hill somewhere. You're a nutcase. There's no verses for that. Don't follow those people out there. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes into the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That you'll know is going down. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. When Jesus comes back, you'll know it's him. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means will pass till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So if you hear someone, you say, why are you going over this? Because you say, well, this guy's predicted when Jesus is coming back. Another passage says, only the Father knows, not even the Son knows. So how are you going to know when Jesus is coming back if Jesus doesn't even know? You say, well, how is that possible? That's above my pay grade. I don't know. I just trust that it's in there and I go with it. Don't get all wrapped up trying to explain things you can't explain. Just do what you can see. That's hard enough to get that done. All right, so everybody got that. Wait till it's him. And make sure that you're following the scripture. What did he say here earlier? His word will not pass away. So find out what's in scripture and hold on to that, stick to that, and follow that. Don't get sucked into following somebody who's going to lead you down some horrible path because it's cool or it's exciting or it's miraculous even. Go to Luke chapter 9. Now, is there such a thing as a wannabe Jesus? I meet a lot of people, have a lot of conversations with people, and somewhere, you know, talk about faith and, you know, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I hope so. You know, you're going to heaven. I hope so. Did you know you can be sure? I hope so. I'm a good person. So there are a lot of people emulating Christ, okay? So if you just read Jesus in the Bible and you see what he does, how he talks, how he interacts with people, just his life, you go, wow, that's an amazing life. It would be better to live that life than maybe any other life. It's a sacrificial life. It's a giving life. It's a rewarding life. It'll cost you your life, but it seems like a good life. It's a good way to live. Just mimicking or imitating a life does not give you life. Okay? So a lot of people well-intentioned say, well, I'm a good person. And I've said this repeatedly. Being good is never bad. It's just never good enough. So we're not discouraging you being a good, nice person. But that's not going to get you into heaven. But you say, well, what is this thing about Jesus? Okay, let's read a few verses. 9:23. Jesus speaking here, he says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Okay, so this follow thing is not a, you know, one time through the fair, I'll follow somebody. This is every day, all the time, follow him. But the only way you get to the following part is the first part. You say you want to go after him, then you have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, which represents dying to yourself, suffering, and you follow him, and you stick with him. Now, implicit in this is having a relationship with him. Okay, so I'm going to read you a bunch of verses after this, and you say, well, but it just looks like we're being trained and told to act like Christians and to find other Christians who are doing certain things and act like them. It's not an act. But you have to pick people who are not acting, but who are actually living the Christian life, and then see how that manifests in their life. Let me read the rest of these verses. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profits it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Okay, so desire you want to go after him, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow him. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. And we'll read a few of these verses that highlight this. Now, you got to remember who this is writing. Paul, he's a good guy. He's a godly man. He is living a holy life. He still has struggles because you see him at the end of his life talking about the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, he's still in a quandary. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So this is Paul writing to this church in Corinth. Let's jump in at verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So you can have 10,000 people giving you instruction, but there's a difference in many instructors and one person who begot you, in other words, is your father, physically one father, spiritually someone who begot you. And Paul says, I am that person. Therefore, I urge you, not as one of your 10,000 instructors, but as your father in the gospel, I urge you, imitate me. And the word in the Greek is for mimic. It's to imitate, and it really means to follow someone. So you say, well, now we're just whatever they do, I do what Paul does. To some extent, yes. How else are you going to figure out how to do this? Now, the danger here is if you start following or imitating the wrong person, you end up doing what they do. So you have to be very careful who you get connected with and make sure God has said to you, this is the man, this is the woman. If you're being discipled by someone or following someone, you got to say, God, what is going on here? Help me. So Paul straight up says to them, what? Imitate me. Do what I'm doing. It works. You can trust me. I'm not just one of your 10,000 instructors. I am the guy. Follow me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So he's going around saying, this is what I do. At some point, believing is not just something you feel or think. It is something that you do. Go read James. Faith without works is dead. I mean, it's going to have to manifest. Your life changes. If you really believe, somewhere your life's going to change. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both, that you do and will do the things we command you. Okay, so he's Paul here again. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you do, you are doing, and you will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So you say, well, it's just about copycat imitating what somebody does. No, look at this. We know you're going to do and will do what we commanded you. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So now he's describing your heart being involved. You cannot be a Christian and your heart not be involved. So you have to deliver your heart, your life. You yield everything. You offer yourself a living sacrifice. You say, God, I trust you. I give you everything. Even what I don't have, I give you. My nothing I give you. And then he begins to direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Something will change if that verse alone is going on. Keep reading in that same passage. Verse 5 again. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we are not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, like we couldn't demand it, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. This is how you should live. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, this is very painful, practical stuff. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed, yet do not count them as an enemy, but admonish them as a brother. So this is not a witch hunt, and people get all, oh, I found a verse and I can punch you in the nose with it. That's not the heart of it. This isn't about going around policing people. You are not the Holy Spirit, but we are instructed to say, okay, are we together in this? Is somebody misunderstanding what it says? And if somebody says, well, you know, I've been out of a job for 12 years, that's not possible. Well, I'm waiting for the right job to come along. Let me tell you what the right job is. One that pays you something so you can pay your bills and feed somebody. Amen. See, tell us something warm and fuzzy, not the practical stuff. But as we live these lives, then people come along and go, wow, that's the expectation. Yeah, we're not judging you. We're not going to treat you like an enemy, but we're going to admonish you as a brother. Like if your own physical brother, like, dude, what are you thinking? Get off your butt and go to work, right? First Peter chapter 5. Tons of practical stuff in the Bible. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Now I'm going to read you this, and this is where this is coming from. You say, well, I'm a wannabe. I got something out there, and that's what I want to be. Here's my recommendation to you. If you want to be something great, someone great, then get connected to Jesus, follow him, follow people who are following him, imitate them, and humble yourself. Don't go reaching. Don't try to lift yourself up. Let him do the heavy lifting. Look at this verse. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So you say, oh, I want to be somebody. If you're a Christian, you already are somebody. I'm a servant of the Most High God. There's nothing bigger than that. I'm his child. I'm his son. I will live forever with God. The promise of heaven, abundant, eternal life. I got everything. You say, but in this life, I'd like to be recognized. I'd like to be something. Then humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he'll lift you up if that's what his plan for your life is. But if he doesn't do the lifting, you can't handle it when you get there. Most people who lift themselves up cannot stay there very long because they got themselves there, and they don't have the humility to handle what he brings. Last one in this section, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I like how he says that. What does that imply that they are little children spiritually? My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So you got a good attorney, even if you sin, but let's don't worry him out. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So anybody who repents, anybody who needs help with sin, Jesus is the answer. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So God says, do this. And we either say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. That'll be great, sir. Or we go, no, thank you. No, sir. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then how do you start feeling? Like you don't even know him. And then the devil goes, well, if you're such a hot dog Christian, how are you living this way? You may not even be a Christian. And now you get this cyclical thing going where you're living doubt. If you're tired of that, then just do what he says to do, like a little child is expected to obey its parents. Are people able to identify who your father is by the way you live and respond to what he says? By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Now what did he interject? Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected to him. So this is not a bunch of just emulation, imitation, just copycat Christianity. This is now, because you choose to keep his word, the love of God is perfected to him. Now it's out of love. It's a relationship, and it's a love relationship. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So here's how this thing completely unfolds. Sooner or later, people start watching you, listening to you. Literally, you're walking around the way you live, and they go, literally, I don't say this flippantly, God, that looks like Jesus. There's something about that person. And all of a sudden, the story of Jesus gets overlaid on your simple life, and they go, it seems like everything he did, they're doing. And he treats people the way it talks about Jesus treating people. And all of a sudden you're inseparable, and they're drawn to you, which is really they're being drawn to him. And now they have a chance of becoming a Christian because they want his life that they see in your life, in my life. And I'm not a liar anymore. He's alive in me. You say, well, have you figured all this out? I'm still following. I still got men in my life that know things I don't know and have been places I haven't been yet. And I will need their help because if I don't die, I got stretch of road still ahead that I know nothing about. And I'm learning things that I'll need for that piece of the journey. Keep following to the finish line. He is the finish line.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, the last thing I'll say here is there are wannabe Christians that I talked about in the beginning. You say, well, I don't want to be a wannabe Christian. I want to be a real Christian. How do I do that? Not just acting like Jesus act, but you get Jesus living in you and let him live through you and figure out what it says about him and start matching all that up. You go, wow, this is a lot simpler. One passage says it about as clearly as any. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Some of you have never heard this, and some of you know it by heart. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So how do you become a Christian? By grace, through faith. Undeserved, unmerited favor. You say, God, I've screwed up. I'm not a believer. I don't want to die without you. I don't want to live without you. I see now that you love me, that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to offer me eternal life, abundant life. and show me how to live this life. I want in on that. Very simple. You pray a simple prayer. He responds. You do what you're supposed to do. He does what he promised he'd do. He moves in. He lives in you, through you, and changes your world just like that.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.